Hello, you are listening to The White Side. I'm your host, Rachel Pendergraft. Welcome to the show.
Hello, welcome to another edition of The White Side. I am your host, Rachel Pendergraft. And while all the eyes of the world are on Europe, the invasion of Europe, the Muslim invasion of white homelands, of the massive rise in sexual attacks on white European women, many have forgotten that our own soil here is likewise being invaded. Being invaded by Muslims, of course, but also being invaded by illegal immigrants and legal immigrants. Governor Greg Abbott and U.S. Representative Henry Cheller of Laredo, Texas, are asking the U.S. Department of Homeland Security why the agency plans to reduce its aerial surveillance on the Texas-Mexico border. In a letter to DHS Secretary Jay Johnson, they said that the cut to a requested 3,850 hours of aerial detection and monitoring in 2016 amounts to 50% less coverage than in recent years. So here we have this invasion of our soil. Now, of course, invasion comes in many forms. We have the resettlement of refugee projects in which they are actively seeding non-white refugees throughout rural America. But the flood across our southern border continues. And much of this in the recent months is coming from Cuba. There is a loophole between Cuba in the visa entrance program. Cuba is able to go into Central America relatively easy without any restrictions. Once they are in Central America, then they make their way through Central America up across into the U.S. border. And once they have their foot on U.S. border, the present provisions between U.S. and Cuba says that if they have their feet on U.S. soil, they are allowed to remain here. Now, if they were to take a boat or something like that and try to get here across the water from Cuba, perhaps into Florida or something, and if they're stopped by the U.S. Coast Guard, as long as they are in the water, on sea, then U.S. law right now, provisions say that they must be returned back to Cuba. But once they make it here, once they are on dry ground, then they are allowed to stay. And since it is very difficult for them to make the voyage from Cuba to the United States coastlands without being spotted, they are using this loophole to go from Cuba to Central America, then make their way by foot, plane, train, car, whatever you want, a buggy, I don't know. Anyway, they're able to make their way into the United States, and once they cross that border, they're allowed to stay here. And so that is one loophole that is allowing these Cubans to stay in the United States. But nevertheless, even aside from the Cubans, there is a horrendous number of immigrants still coming from Central America. And of course, a report out just a couple of weeks ago of the 50 most violent cities in the world, I believe it was 21, maybe 22 of those cities were in Brazil. Of course, we also had our own St. Louis and Baltimore as in the top 15 of most violent cities here in the United States. Of course, this was worldwide, but 20 of the most violent in the top 50 were from Brazil. Also, Grenada, Panama, Honduras, and so forth. So these are very violent areas. Of course, most of the blame is put on poverty, it's put on the drug trade, and so forth. But again, these people, they make the culture in which they live in. Do all of them enjoy that type of violent culture, the poverty? Well, of course they don't, but nevertheless, it is an outcome of their genetics, and it is an outcome of what they racially have produced, and they have produced a violent, unstable, poverty-stricken country. And so many of those are fleeing into the United States. the United States is not going to magically change them into flag-waving, constitutional-loving citizens just by the drop of the hat or by changing their status from citizen, from non-citizen to citizen or from illegal to legal immigrant. No, what they are doing is they will fundamentally change America. In fact, it was a Time, or actually a Newsweek article back in, I believe it was 1992, called The Browning of America. And it said that in just a couple of decades that the white race would no longer be the majority of the country, of the population. Most people here already know this. They told us this 20-something years ago. But they said with this Browning of America would come a fundamental change in politics, in education, in religion, in everything, and in our laws, and in our principles, and our morals and values. We are not changing people into Americans, into sovereign citizens, into children of the Republic. Rather, these people are coming and fundamentally changing America. And those power brokers out there, the world's global financial elite, they know that this is what is going to happen. They have planned for it to happen, and they plan to take advantage of an unstable, uncohesive society that is strewn apart by racial conflict. These people have a fundamental different culture and value system than the children of the Republic. And when I say children of the Republic, I mean white people, because this Constitution and this Republic was created for those people and their posterity, which are the sons and daughters, the white sons and daughters of the Republic. Well, the according to this letter that was sent to Secretary Jay Johnson of the DHS, Greg Abbott, governor, said, given the recent surge of migrants from Central America and Cuba along the southern border, we believe DHS should request more surveillance and security resources, not fewer. They also reminded Johnson that in September, Abbott's office asked for more aerial resources, and the U.S. Border Patrol agents, but the request was never acknowledged. They just totally ignored their letter. They ignored their request for more surveillance, ignored their request for more Border Patrol agents. Now, the CBP is reporting a surge in undocumented, that's that word again, undocumented immigrants crossing the Rio Grande. Well, I think it's very easy to document them. You count them as they come across the border. You count them in the crime statistics. You count them every time the welfare rolls come up. They're not undocumented. They're being documented all the time. They find it easy enough to get themselves documented when they need Social Security, when they need food stamps, when they need welfare, when they want to use the public services of this country, when they want to get their kids into school, when they want the free lunches, when they want the free ride. They know very well how to document themselves. So the whole undocumented thing is just very, very silly. From October to December of 2015, there were approximately 11,000 unaccompanied minors that entered Texas illegally through the Rio Grande Valley sector of the U.S. Border Patrol. And there it goes again, is the unaccompanied minors. And this is the same story that we are hearing about the Muslim invasion of Europe. We hear about teens, we hear about children, we hear about the children refugee and asylum centers. We hear about how these children, they're not being given a fair chance. These aren't children that are coming in. Sure, there's a few children coming in, but these aren't children that are invading Europe. These are adults. After a child, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, on up, they know what they're doing. They're not coming, they're not going into Europe without a clue as to what's happening. They know why they're going. They know they're part of a movement. They know they're a part of a cultural change, a cultural shift. They know exactly what they're doing. They are invading Europe, and they intend to change Europe. And so these unaccompanied so-called, I'm using the quote signs, unaccompanied minors that are entering Texas illegally. These aren't sweet little doe-eyed little kids that 2-3 years. These are teenagers that are coming into this country, often with a very violent history, often with an intent to do harm, to milk the system here, and then after they've milked the system, they intend to change the system. Well, this number that has come in through the Rio Grande Valley from October to December, it marks 115% increase over the same time frame in 2014. And anyway, the El Paso sector has also seen just slightly under 1,100 of these so-called unaccompanied minors. That's an increase of 300%. Now, of course, they talked about to the DHS department, they talked about the illegal immigration that was coming from Mexico and Central America, but they also, again, talked about the increase of Cubans coming into Texas. And like I just explained a moment ago, they are able to do so because of a loophole that says that once they put their foot on dry ground, they can stay here in the U.S. legally. If they get here on a boat, if they're in the water, if they're on a life raft, Coast Guard can turn them around. If they make it to dry ground, they get to stay. So they're flying in to Central America, and then they're making their way up through Mexico into the United States, and then they've got a free pass to stay here. In 2015, there were just under 30,000 Cubans that entered Texas through the U.S. Customs and Border Protection's Laredo office. And this extends from Del Rio all the way down to Brownsville. This is compared to just under 16,000 in 2014. So almost double the number of Cubans coming into Texas from 2014 to 2015. So again, our nation is being invaded by another nation that is not—it's not making it in the news. U.S. citizens, for the most part, have no idea that these Cubans are able to get a free pass once they get here into the United States. And unfortunately, not only are they given a free pass, but then our country is being littered. Actually littered by sanctuary cities. These sanctuary cities where they thumb their nose at federal law that says that, illegal immigration is wrong. They're not supposed to be here. And so these sanctuary cities, these municipalities, they say, well, hey, we're going to let you stay here. We're going to let you be a part of our community. We're going to let you partake in the services that is meant for our local citizens that pay taxes. We're going to let you partake, and we're also going to do what we can to restrict any federal involvement in your deportation. Now, take that idea of the sanctuary cities for illegal aliens. I don't hear about any sanctuary cities for those who love the Second Amendment. I don't hear any sanctuary cities for those who want to be able to defend themselves and the right to keep and bear arms. I don't hear about any sanctuary cities that stand up and say, we are not going to allow the federal government to come in here and disarm our citizens. I don't hear about any mayor standing up or city council standing up and saying, you will not take away guns from our citizens. This is our town, this is our city, this is our community, this is our these are our neighborhoods, and they have a right to defend themselves, and we will not allow any federal officers or government officials on a federal level to come in here and disarm our citizens. I don't hear any of that. I don't hear any of it at all. But they will say, oh, illegal immigrants, come on down, come on in, partake of the good life of our city. Well, sanctuary cities used to just be, there's one or two here and there. Now, there are over 300 sanctuary cities in the United States now. The Center for Immigration Studies has updated its list to include Dallas County in Texas, so that's a whole county, Philadelphia, and 5 Kentucky counties, and possibly the whole state of Massachusetts, as areas where federal law enforcement demands for information and access to jailed illegal immigrants will be denied. Jessica Vaughn is the director of policy studies for the Center for Immigration Studies and gave some examples of the new cities, counties, and states that have joined in the sanctuary movement of denying federal demands. And at the same time, these cities are still getting federal funding. She said that outgoing Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, who had long maintained obstructive sanctuary policies, undid them before leaving office in December 2015. But one of the very first acts of new Mayor Jim Kenney, within hours of his swearing in and after accepting some homemade bread, I love this, homemade bread baked by illegal aliens, I guess that was his show of good faith, was to institute a new sanctuary policy. In addition to Dallas County, other new sanctuary jurisdictions include the city of Lawrence, Massachusetts, 5 counties in Kentucky, and in December, a committee of the Massachusetts legislature approved a strict and far-reaching sanctuary bill. So just some of these sanctuary cities here, I don't know if I have time to read all this. Well, states, sanctuary states include California, Connecticut, New Mexico, and Colorado. Now, I don't see listed Iowa, but I do know, I am aware of about 15 years ago because I had done a story on it at the time, wrote an article about it, and there's a quite a lot of fuss about it at the time because they were one of the first states to do so. But Iowa at that time had declared themselves to be a sanctuary state. So I don't see them on this list. I don't know if they've had some sort of reversal or what. Of course, then there's Arizona, Arizona, South Tucson. Now, I was born in Tucson. It was a beautiful city. Still have a lot of family there. We have a lot of good members there. A lot of good people in Tucson. However, just like the rest of the Southwest, it is literally being overrun. Many parts of the city, you have to speak Spanish in order to get a job. Outright discrimination. They post their signs. If you're not bilingual, no need to apply. California, in addition to all county sheriffs, Berkeley, Los Angeles, Orange County Probation Department, Colorado, in addition to all counties, Aurora Detention Center, Connecticut, East Haven, Hartford, in Florida, Broward County, Hernando County, Hillsborough County, Miami-Dade County, Palm Beach County, Pasco County, Pinellas County in Georgia, Clayton County, Fulton County in Illinois, Champaign County, Chicago, Cook County. Well, of course, Chicago, I don't know if it is anymore, but a few years ago, Chicago was actually had the third largest Mexican population anywhere. It was the capital of Mexico first, and then it was Los Angeles, and then Chicago had the largest population of Mexicans. Okay, well, here we see Iowa on that list. So in Iowa, Ellamakee County, Benton County, Cass County, Clinton County, Delaware, Dubuque, Franklin, Fremont, Greene, Ida, Iowa County. Just looks like a whole slate here in Iowa. Jefferson, Johnson, Lynn, Marion, Monona, Montgomery County, my husband's family, my in-laws are there in Montgomery County, a lot of pork processing plants in the nearby vicinity, Sioux County, Story County, Wapello County. Then we got a whole list of counties in Kansas, in Kentucky, in Louisiana, Lafayette Parish, Orleans Parish, in Maine, Portland, in Maryland, Baltimore City, Prince George County, in Massachusetts, Amherst, Boston, Cambridge, Lawrence, Northampton, then Minnesota, Nebraska, Nevada, New Jersey, counties in New Jersey, counties in Nevada, New Mexico, in addition to all counties in New Mexico, North Dakota, Oregon, bunch of counties in Oregon. I'm good. This makes me want to hurl, makes me want to vomit that these counties, these states, these municipalities are actually intent on harboring. Here we are. Our country is being invaded. In less than 30 years, almost every baby boomer will be dead. The demographic shift that we have seen occurring in the last 20 years, I mean, people, come on. If you think you're seeing trouble now, you just wait another 25, 30 years. It is going to totally knock your socks off. I mean, we're talking about the Brazilification of the United States. And what did I mention a few minutes ago? About 20 cities out of the top 50 most violent cities, homicide rapes, sexual assaults, home invasions, burglary, armed robbery, all of these things. 20 of them were out of Brazil, and I know Brazil is a big country, but come on, 20 of them? And then followed up by Honduras and Grenada and Panama and so forth. We are literally importing revolution into this country. And these turncoat state legislative bodies, these municipal city councils and mayors, the counties, to say that we are going to defend these illegal immigrants, we're going to defend these invaders. Come on, people. This is absolutely just absolutely absurd. Just makes me sick. Washington, D.C., another one. Wisconsin with Milwaukee. Washington State, Spokane County, Thurston County, Walla Walla County, and on and on and on. The list, 300 now. Sanctuary cities, states, and counties in the United States. Sanctuary states. They're going to take your guns. They want to take your Bible. They want to take away parental authority. They want to take away our Christian faith. They want to take away everything that is good and decent and holy. Take it all away from us. Tell us to go to hell. We don't need any of this. It's not our right. We've been a race of oppressors. Screw you, basically, is what they're telling us. They're putting their middle finger up to white Christian America. And these yahoos are going to give sanctuary to the very invaders that are destroying our country. And then we've got Ted Cruz, who comes out 4 points ahead in the Iowa caucuses over Donald Trump. Now, there's some things I like about Ted Cruz, but he's not a part of the solution. He's not coming out. He's been for immigration reform. Immigration reform, according to the GOP and the party bosses, immigration reform is just another nice way of saying, well, instead of calling these people illegal, we'll just check mark legal and then everything's okay. It's not okay. That's their solution. Their solution isn't to get them out of the country, to deport them, to start rounding them up, to build a bigger wall, to use our military and our law enforcement officers to send them back south of the border, to load them up on planes and send them back to India or wherever they came, Pakistan or the Middle East, Uganda or wherever the hell they're coming from. No, that's not part of their plan, immigration reform. It's just a nice fancy way to say we're going to let them keep on coming, because we've got sanctuary waiting on them. And, you know, I blame that first off, a lot of good people up in Iowa, but good grief, people. It was the evangelical crowd that came out in support of Ted Cruz that caused that 4% lead over Trump. Why? Because they've been sold a bill of goods by their preacher that has them convinced that if they don't give everything they've got, if they don't sell out their children, if they don't sell out their families, if they don't just give the key of America to these illegal immigrants and legal non-white immigrants, if they don't give the key to the store away to these people, that somehow they're not being good Christians. Well, charity begins at home, and those who don't take care of their families worse than an infidel. And my family is my racial white brothers and sisters, the posterity of America. I know Donald Trump doesn't have everything right. I don't necessarily agree with him in everything, all of his policies and perhaps financial decisions he's made in the past. But there has to be a start, and that start is to get these people out of this country. If he's willing to do that, that's a start, baby. That's one start that I can go along with. But those evangelicals up there, and I consider myself an evangelical. I'm very outspoken. I'm a proud white Christian woman. I'm very outspoken about my belief in Jesus Christ. But I understand Christianity, and I understand what it's not. I understand how it's been turned around. I understand how it's been lied. I understand how it's been misconstrued. I understand how the preachers in America, 99.9% of them, the preachers in America are like the dogs that the Bible speaks about. They do not bark. They do not warn our people. They do nothing but sleep and slumber. They're filthy, filthy dogs. And they've been telling these good, solid, otherwise Christian men and women throughout the country that if they don't vote for someone who has immigration reform on their platform, immigration reform that's going to bring all these huddled masses into them so they can hear the word of God. We don't have to go out to them anymore. God's bringing them to us. Hallelujah. No. Absolutely not. That's the alien strangers that are rising up above the children of God. That's what we see happening in America. That's what we see happening throughout the sanctuary cities. It's time now to continue speaking out. Pray for real revival, not this fake stuff that we see coming down the aisles in most churches in America. Not that fake counterfeit Christianity. Pray for real revival. Unfortunately, though, I don't think revival is going to come until these people are just drugged down the street a little bit more. They're going to be drugged down the street by the immigrants and those that they allowed to come in. They think they're going to come in and they're going to be grateful. No, they're going to come in here just like they're coming in to Europe. They're not coming in grateful. They're not coming in with a smile on the face. They're not coming in to learn our ways. And I don't care if they learn our ways anyway. Their culture is fine for them. They just need to keep their culture somewhere else. No, they're not coming in with a grateful attitude. They're coming in with a heart of destruction and a heart of betrayal and a heart of vengeance. They are coming in to oppress us and to turn our culture into their culture. So pray for real revival in America, my brothers and sisters. Until next week, remember, if you are not on the white side, you are on the wrong side.